responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. I have a very special guest on the show today. I am here with Bob Wage. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, pleasure to be with
you. Carolina Hurricanes, they're the team you cover, and they just are a very interesting team. They've had this endless rebuild. They haven't made the playoffs since 2008, 2009, longest drought in the NHL. What is happening in Raleigh this offseason?
Well, actually, a lot's happening this offseason. Of course, most people are aware that Ron Francis was let go during the middle of the season last year. Don Waddell was kind of promoted from being operations manager to being general manager. Although it's a unique situation since we've got a new owner and Tom Dundon, people around the league may or may not like it, but it's kind of like the owner is really involved in all the decisions. It's almost like a general manager by committee. Supposedly, they have quite a lot of input in all the major decisions. It's not just Don Waddell calling all the shots. I guess all these trade decisions and whatnot go through a committee. The owner's involved in the final decision, and that's how a lot of decisions are being made now. Time will tell if the decisions made are good or bad. We'll see shortly here when the season starts.
Yeah, so that Jeff Skinner trade was like the trade heard around the world this offseason because it's late and it was just a peculiar trade. It almost seemed like crisis prevention because the Canes, they didn't want to lose him for nothing this offseason, so they got what they could get. But that return was underwhelming. Was that return worth it to get rid of an elite talent in Jeff Skinner?
Well, in my opinion, no. If you're looking to make the playoffs this year, Skinner averages like 29 goals a year. He's a goal scoring threat whenever he's on the ice, and we got future considerations for him. And all intents and purposes, you've got three draft picks: a second rounder, a third rounder, and a sixth rounder. But Cliff Poo, who is a decent prospect, but probably nobody that's going to help you this year. So if you're looking to make the playoffs this year, you've got assets in the bank, I guess, you can work with if you're going to possibly bring in somebody else later in the year or whatnot, or later this offseason. But, assets, looking at what's going to improve the team immediately, you'd have to say the team actually got a little bit worse. But there might be some intangibles involved. I mean, there's rumors going that they decided that they were going to try to trade Skinner right after the end of season interviews. Possibly he said something that they didn't like, or possibly there's something else going on that, we're not aware of. But they definitely were out to trade him. There's been rumors going all summer long that they were trying to trade him. So they finally got the deal, the best deal they figured they could make, and we'll see if it works out. In years down the road, it could be turn out to be a good deal. But if they don't make the playoffs this year and Skinner scores 30 goals for Buffalo, they might not be too happy. Plus, Skinner was a very popular player. There's some unhappy people in Raleigh over that deal.
Yeah, so Bill Peters, he had a lot of, impact on the Carolina Hurricanes. He was the coach and really, a hands-on guy. He was there for a little while. His departure, it will have an effect on the Hurricanes next season. For the good or bad, who knows now. But Rob Brindenarmer, he's the new coach. How do you see him fitting in his first season with the team?
Well, I think it's a good fit in that the players know him, they like him, and he brings the respect of having been in their skates before, been through the situations. I mean, the negative aspect of it is he doesn't have any experience of being a head coach, really, at any level. I mean, he was never a head coach in the AHL or the juniors. So But he has been an assistant for quite some time and under different head coaches, so he's seen a little bit of everything. And I think it should be good because he should be a good motivator. He should be able to communicate, which communication's big as far as being a coach. The question is, does he have the tactical skills? Does he have the in-game experience needed to make changes in the lines if he needs to match up other teams' lines when he needs to? That's what's going to be key, to see how his in-game strategy works. But as far as communication goes and getting along with the team, maybe getting the most out of he can out of the players, I think that's a good move.
Yeah, so you mentioned this earlier. I do want to touch on it again. Don Waddell, who was the Carolina Hurricanes president of business operations for four seasons, was named general manager, and he filled the vacancy created when Ron Francis left. Fans are really not happy with some of the moves he's made, and I know you said it was kind of a GM by committee type thing, but could you just give some insight into Don Waddell's, you know, what's his vision? Is he a win-now guy? Is he a rebuilder? Or this is what I think the answer is. Is it somewhere in between for the Hurricanes?
Well, I think they are win-now, whether or not they look like it at all the times, because the owner is, he's out to improve the team, improve the fan experience, improve the team experience. I mean, they're redoing the locker room for the first time ever in the PNC Arena, in the arena. So they're remodeling it. They're redoing the weight room, the exercise room. He's trying to make the experience better for players, and do the best he can in that area. He's trying to do the same thing for fans. What's going wrong, I think, in my opinion, is that he's making, and I'm answering the question regarding Don Waddell, including the new owner, because I think it works hand in hand. I think Waddell's basically doing what the owner's telling him to do. He let Ron Francis go, who is a Hall of Famer and who's very popular here, very popular around the league, and unceremoniously just kind of let him go without any big reason why or whatnot, other than the fact that, the team needed to improve, and he wasn't necessarily improving the team, but why let him go in the middle of the season? I mean, most changes are made at the end of the year. And then Chuck Caton was recently let go, who's been an announcer of the team, radio announcer, for 38 seasons, even with the days back in Hartford. And they've decided to stop the radio broadcast, and instead of doing a separate radio broadcast, do a simulcast of the television. And a lot of people were upset about that. And, you know, Chuck Caton is a Hall of Famer, and he's more or less a household name of Hurricanes fans, so he's been around that long. So it was difficult to see him go, and, again, that could have been handled better, I think. But as far as the team goes, they made some upgrades as far as trading away Noah Hanifin and Elias Lindholm to Calgary for Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland and Adam Fox. That's an immediate upgrade. That indicates to me, okay, we want to win now, because Noah Hanifin could turn out to be a pretty darn good defenseman in a couple, three more years of development. But so it's a risk trading him at this stage of his career, but they are better. Dougie Hamilton's a very good defenseman. So hopefully that's an immediate upgrade, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, so that trade was really cool because you had this prospect coming to Carolina in Adam Fox, who's a great player. You also had Dougie Hamilton, who, you know, he has some locker room issues apparently, but he's a great elite talent. And then Michael Ferland's a really, really solid player. Do you grade that as an automatic win for Carolina, or do you think that losing Lindholm and Hanifin could come back and haunt them in the future?
I think it's a win, especially for this season. Lindholm has been a little bit of a disappointment. Now, I'm not saying he's reached his ceiling. He's still a young player, like 25, 26 years old, but he's been a bit of a disappointment as far as consistency issues. You know, some games he'll look fantastic. Other games, he's hard to find out there. So, and it always seemed to me like he could be more physical. He's got the capability, I think, of being a more physical, aggressive player if he really pushed himself. And maybe that can come out in Calgary. But Dougie Hamilton's an upgrade over Hanifin at this moment. And Furland, with his physicality, and he did score more goals than Lindholm did last year at 21 goals. If he can duplicate that again this coming season, it's an upgrade. Then Adam Fox is like icing on the cake. I mean, he's going to stay in college again this year, but I saw him play at the Prospects tournament and prospect camp that they had over the summer, over in July, and he was one of the better players in the camp, and he really looked good. So if they can sign him and get him to turn pro next year, that's a big plus.
Yeah, so that trade, Adam Fox, for me, is that wild card because he could sway the trade in favor of either team. Big name prospect, going back to college, really, really solid player. How do you see him developing for the Hurricanes? Is he that top D man? Is he a top four? What's the timetable for him? Just give us a rundown on Adam Fox.
Well, again, he was one of the top players in the prospect camp. I would say he's a top four defenseman. He's not the biggest guy in the world out there, but he's very nifty with the puck. He's a very good puck handler, and he's a great passer. I mean, he's got great vision out there. He was finding open guys, and he was collecting up assists. I don't remember if he scored any goals per se during the scrimmage, but he was certainly getting the assist, and he was moving the puck very, very well. So I'd call him a top four defenseman as far as having help on the power play as well. He should be a power play contributor. Now, what's the timetable? You know, he's going back to school again this year, Harvard, and I'd say he might need 1 year of seasoning in the AHL next year. So I'd say he's like a couple years away, but he's certainly got a bright future, I think. He's partially because of his vision. I mean, he's got a great eye for what's going on out there on the ice.
And Michael Furland, another piece in that trade, he had a huge year for the Flames last year. 21 goals, 20 assists, 41 points, plus five. But in the prior two seasons, he was playing full-time for the Flames. He was more of a depth forward. In 2015-2016, 71 games played, you know, 4 goals, 14 assists. The year after, 76 games played, 15 goals, 10 assists. He hasn't always been a scorer. He was a breakout player last year. Do you see a regression coming from him with a new team, or do you think he keeps up that 20-goal season pace?
You know, it might not. It probably wouldn't be surprising if he had a little regression. You know, I pencil him in at like 15 goals, maybe. It's going to be a tough transition whenever you're switching to a new team. And he was playing at the top line for much of the year last year, from what I could tell. So I don't know if he'll be playing on a top line in Carolina, and his line mates might not be who they were. I mean, we don't have Sean Monahan over here and Johnny Hockey. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him regress a little bit. But hopefully he's got the confidence going and he can keep up, you know, a lot of what he was doing. Seems like his goals, a lot of them were, like, battling in front of the net and whatnot. And that's a place where you can score no matter who your line mates are, is if they can get to the puck to the front of the net. So hopefully it won't be much of a regression, but I wouldn't be surprised if he could knock in 15 again this year.
And Dougie Hamilton, the last piece of that trade, elite defenseman, really solid two-way guy, but there are reportedly these locker room issues that follow him everywhere in Boston. Every teammate besides him went out to a party. That was potentially a reason why he was traded, which seems overblown, but there's just always these locker room personality issues following him. Are these concerns legitimate, or is this just his personality, where he's just kind of a quiet guy?
You know, that's really hard to tell since we're not in the locker room and we don't know these things, but it seems like it's overblown. I mean, fans were having fun with it on Twitter, and a couple of the interviews I heard, the local interviews here on the radio, he even joked about it a little bit. He was,
okay, yeah.
They were, one of the interviews, mentioned something, I can't remember, and he said, well, how are the museums in Raleigh? I hear they're pretty good or something. So, you know, he was joking about it, which is a good, it's good to have a sense of humor about these things. But
yeah, definitely.
Don Waddell was asked about it after the trade, and he said they did their due diligence and they felt comfortable regarding it. So it might just be something that's overblown, or it could be Calgary media making, you know, a mountain out of a molehill type of thing. But he was traded from Boston too, supposedly for similar things. He might just be a loner. But it might not be a big deal in the Carolina locker room like it might have been in Calgary. It's hard to tell till we see what happens. But my own personal opinion is, I don't see it being a big deal. You know, see what he does on the ice, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, that's a good sign to hear that he was joking in interviews. I mean, he's just made out to be like this really, like, just not a good personality. But if he's joking and he's a young kid, he's a good player, I think it's overblown. I'm with you there. And a player that I know can definitely attest has an amazing personality as well, Calvin DeHaan, funny guy, great locker room personality, and a great player on the ice. He was on the New York Islanders. He left to sign a 4-year, $18.2 million contract. He has big expectations with his new club. How do you see him fitting in?
Oh, we're thrilled for that signing, and I think he'll fit in very well. You know, the Hurricanes, the defensemen right now do a very good job of blocking shots, trying to limit shots. Of course, goaltending's a question here, and that has been for the last couple of years. So they try to block as many shots as possible, and that's Cal DeHaan's, you know, forte. He led the Islanders with block shots, I think, last year. So he should fit in right well there. And we need, you know, we've got a couple guys that look for the offense, and we've got Dougie Hamilton, again, that's going to be looking to put some points on the board. So we do need somebody that's more defensive responsible, I believe, like DeHaan will be. And I think he'll fit in very well here.
Okay. And then this, you know, he's a really, really good shot suppressor too. When he's on the ice, his Corsi's good. How do you see him fitting in with the Hurricane system, where when he was on the Islanders, he was facing a lot of shots. He was on a terrible defensive team, but he said it himself, the Hurricanes are one of the best defensive teams in hockey. It's a good unit there. Do you think the Hurricane system helps him, or do you think it will be a transition for him?
I think it'll help him. I think he's going to have a good defensive partner, no matter who it is. The first pairing should be Jacob Slavin and Dougie Hamilton, I would think. And, you know, the second pairing, everybody's saying Brett Pesky and DeHaan. I would almost say that Falk, if Falk has a good preseason, I mean, a lot of people had him out of town on a trade, and either they didn't want to trade him at the last minute or they couldn't get what they wanted for him. But Falk's seems to be coming back, and a lot of people are saying, well, he's an expensive third line or third pairing. I think he might work his way right into the second pairing, and he's looking for a shot. He's looking to score. A couple seasons ago, he had like 15 goals himself, so I think he and DeHaan would make a good pairing, and it'd be interesting to see how they work together.
Yeah, DeHaan, he did have injury issues last year, though. He had a bum shoulder, which really affected him, and he was out for most of the year. When he was down, the Islanders season hit the tanks. It was really a difficult season for the Islanders without DeHaan. He still has this shoulder injury. He had a history of injury before. Do you see him making a full recovery and really putting up 82 games, or do you think this injury bug follows him throughout his time in Carolina?
Well, you know, some players are just unlucky with injuries, but regarding his shoulder, he says he's 100% healthy. He was interviewed. He came to Raleigh for a few days, and he was interviewed 3 or 4 times by various people. And he was asked about his injury, and he said he's 100% healthy right now. Again, sometimes, like I say, players get an injury bug, and if it's not one thing, it's another thing. So you never know for sure, but I have to say, hopefully he'll stay healthy, and we'll see where it goes. But he says his current, you know, the shoulder issue is behind him, so hopefully it stays behind him.
another problem that the Hurricanes had last season. Scott Darling, he was terrible, going 13-21-7 with a 3.18 goals against average. Bottom of the league. He and Peter Mrazek are the goaltending tandem. Do you see that tandem keeping the Hurricanes afloat, especially relying on Darling rebounding, or do you think, again, that's going to really be a weak spot for the Hurricanes?
Well, right now, you know, to be perfectly honest, it still looks like a weak spot. You need to see both goalies prove themselves first before you can feel more comfortable about that position. Now, Scott, to his credit, has been working hard all summer, trying to get into the best shape possible, and supposedly was not in good shape last year. You know, it's hard for fans to tell sometimes how good a shape a player is, but that's what the word is. And they're showing video of him working out and being local here all summer. So hopefully that'll help him out and help him improve. But before fans can feel comfortable and even the coaching staff feels comfortable, they're going to have to see it. And the same thing with Mrazek. You know, he had a tough year last year. He's had good times in Detroit a couple years ago, but it's what have you done for me recently? You know how that is for any team. And so both goalies are out to prove themselves, which is a good thing. They've got a lot to play for. They're going to be trying to their best to improve, and they know what they've got to do. So I guess we'll just wait and see. But that is a big question right now.
And Darling, there was just weird personality issues with him last year that I read about. Again, could be overblown, but he seemed to be very tense with the media and was just not a great fit early on and was really struggling when he was not facing a lot of shots. Were those struggles last season, was that perhaps a sign of a transition from Chicago to Carolina where he was a backup going to a starter, or was that just how he's going to be in Carolina? Do you see him recovering from that this season?
You know, that could be a little bit of his personality. He seems to be a little bit quiet, but I think most of it was transition. Number one, he's moving to a new area from a big city to more of a smaller city, lower key area. Plus, it isn't a transition going from a backup to a starter where the pressure's on you. I mean, there's nowhere to hide when you're out there counting on everybody's counting on you and starting. So it's a rough transition sometimes to switch teams and have more responsibility placed on you, more pressure placed on you. And he probably could have handled all that a little bit better. But I think that's another thing that should help him this year is that he's used to the teammates. He's used to the defense in front of him. I mean, he didn't have Seabrook and Duncan Keith in front of him. So it's a little bit different getting used to, even though Carolina's got a good defense, they're young. It's a transition. So hopefully that'll help him this year, feeling more comfortable. Goaltending to me is a lot mental, just as much as physical. And if mentally you're just not into it, it just makes things twice as hard. You know. So hopefully mentally he feels a lot more comfortable and confident this year.
So we just did a deep dive into the Carolina Hurricanes. All things considered, everything we just talked about, do you think the Hurricanes make the playoffs this season?
Right now, my gut is telling me no, because, you know, they just got rid of 30 goals for Jeff Skinner, and they didn't replace it with anything. That's a tough nut to crack. And they're counting on rookies. They're going to have several rookies. The number two overall pick, Svechnikov, he's got a lot of promise. Not sure how many goals he can score, but he's got a lot of promise. He's going to be given an opportunity. Martin Nietzsche, who's was our number one pick last year, he's going to be given an opportunity. He looked really, really good in the prospect camp, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. He's got a lot of moves. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. So it would not surprise me to see him do very, very well. And then they've got a couple guys that they're going to bring up from the AHL who played very well last year for the Charlotte Checkers. But, you know, it's a question and how well they can do and if how many goals they can score. So right now I'd have to say there still would be a surprise that they made the playoffs. Unless they trade Falk for a proven forward, which wouldn't surprise me either if they could still do that. But we'll have to wait and see. As the team stands right now, though, I would say don't bet on it.
Yeah, so that seems to be where it's at. Thank you so much for giving up the time today and coming on the show. I really appreciate it, and it was great to speak with you.
Yep, my pleasure. Have a good one.
You too. Bye. So we will be right back with three very special guests on the show. We're going to play some Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor. I'm sure you've never heard of that, so stay tuned to see what I'm talking about.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I am here with my three good friends, Pranav, Tom, and Eric. And one of the defining characteristics about Hunterdon County, where we are all from, is that no one likes hockey. I'm the only one in my friend group who likes hockey. I'm the only one in the school that likes hockey, besides a select handful of kids. And my friends here follow the same trend. They really don't know anything about hockey. But today, we're here to play The Bachelor, Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor. Everyone here watches The Bachelor. It's one of the most popular shows. And we're going to combine this county's lack of hockey knowledge with the lack of knowledge about hockey. I repeated myself. I'm sorry. I meant to say about the knowledge of The Bachelor. And we're just going to combine everything and make a nice little segment here about who's the biggest hockey fan, Pranav, Tom, or Eric. So we're going to start with a series of questions. I'm playing Bachelor host here. What's the guy's name? Chris Hansen? No. Chris Harrison. Okay, I messed up my TV shows. That's To Catch a Predator. But we're going to do an interview segment and who's the biggest hockey fan. So first, Pranav, let's start with you. You are going to the prestigious Duke University, absolutely prestigious school. And you are going to be involved in basketball culture. That's the school of basketball. How are you going to be able to be a hockey fan with so much basketball?
Well, you know, I'm an avid follower of Drive for Five on Instagram, which is our host is a Hockey Islanders Instagram account. So clearly here I have the most devotion to the hockey sport. In college, I'll keep on checking the Instagram account. I'll go to your website. I'll go to NHL.com all the time, every day. I'll just be the most devoted hockey fan in college. And I don't really care about basketball. I suck at basketball. So basketball at Duke won't be a distraction for me.
Well, that sounds great. You definitely seem like you're a hockey fan in the making. Eric, you know absolutely nothing about hockey. That's just a fact. I'm sorry to say it. How will this impact you as a fan?
Right, so the thing is, I do admit that I, at this point in my life, I do know the least about hockey out of all three gents here. But the thing is, I feel like that's my biggest advantage in a way, because I have the most to learn about hockey. It's like a whole brave new world for me in terms of learning about this wonderful sport that so many people enjoy around the world. And I think that will become my advantage. It's like everything is new to me that like maybe even you might be bored of by now. Just like learning the basic rules will be a novel adventure for me. And I think that's what's going to help me be the best fan I can possibly be.
Wow, Eric, that sounds amazing. And Tom, you love music, that's your thing. And in hockey, music is incorporated in a very special way. After every goal, when you're the home team, music plays. A very happy and enthusiastic song plays. The fans celebrate, they cheer, and the players have their celebration. They hug their team. If you had to pick a goal song for your favorite team, what would be your ideal song?
My ideal song would probably be maybe the Rocky theme song, because I've been into Rocky since I was a very young person, and I don't think there's anything that gets my blood boiling quite like that. So basically, I would choose the Rocky theme song because that would be intense.
Okay, that sounds like a great choice. That is currently not the goal song of any team in the NHL, so you would definitely have that unique advantage there. And Pranav, you have an advantage here. I don't want to give it away, because it might make you the favorite, but you have been to hockey games.
I have.
You have.
It's true.
So what's your favorite memory at a hockey game?
I think my favorite memory is when David's the host, in case you didn't know, which if you're listening to the show, why wouldn't you? It's when we went to Devils Islanders game,
yes.
I think.
Yes, that's the team.
No, and they were retiring like a really famous player or something like that, or they were doing a ceremony.
Yep.
So the entirety of Prudential Center was just filled to the brim with Devils fans, entirely red. Okay, and I'm sitting next to David. He's the only one with an Islanders jersey on, and so we're just getting trashed by everyone. Drunk people are screaming at us, pouring their beer on us. This guy behind us is harassing us, even though he's like, he was probably like 30 going on 13 or something. He was just so stupid, and it was just the funnest time, and we kept on like screaming, and it was just the best time. That's like my favorite hockey memory, because just making people angry, making Devils fans angry, that was the best time.
That sounds beautiful, Pranav. I'm glad you were able to share that experience with us. And Eric, this is something I'm very excited to talk about, because for those of you who do not know, Eric visits China very frequently. In fact, he was there last month.
Yes.
He was there last month. And in China, hockey is emerging. It is a very, you know, up-and-coming part of Chinese culture. Yep. How will your culture help you be the best hockey fan you can be?
Well, you know, Chinese people have, like, a long history of being very devoted to, like, traditions and customs and whatnot. And then if you think about it, like, America is known to have, like, a lot of really popular sports. But the thing is, in China, that's not really a thing. Like, I'd really, even as a Chinese person, I cannot think of one sport that all of China can rally around. And I think that just might be hockey, honestly. And with our history of tradition and customs and whatnot, I think we could really latch onto it and just, like, fall in love with it the way that a lot of Americans have and the way I am right now.
That sounds beautiful, Eric. Really nice how you're bringing your culture into your fandom. Tom, you are also going to a prestigious university, Dartmouth University, and you will be attending an Ivy League school. And an Ivy League school means elite-level hockey. When you're at Dartmouth, the Big Green is the name of the team. Are you going to be able to get involved with the Big Green?
I think I'll have a lot of time to, you know, the change between high school and college is that college, you only have a few hours of classes every day, so that means you have a lot of time to sort of go to whatever you want to. And so even though I haven't been a big hockey fan in the past, I think it'd be a great opportunity to start going to some of the Dartmouth games. And also, because it's so dang cold, you can probably play hockey just about anywhere outside. Yep. So overall, it'll be a good opportunity.
That sounds great. You're going to get involved with hockey culture. The ECAC is the conference that Dartmouth is in, and that is one of the best in the country. So you will be seeing some high-level hockey. Pranav, we're circling back to you for our last three questions. You've been to a ton of Devils Islanders games. That's something that you have as an advantage over your two competitors here. Are you a Devils fan or an Islanders fan?
Well, you see, the first hockey game I went to, it was Islanders v. Devils. But the Devils won. So I was like, you know, it's my first hockey game. The team who wins, that's going to automatically be my number one team. And that's what was true for a long time. And then, as I said before, we went to that one where all the Devils fans, you know, they were trashing us, and I'm like, you know, I don't like these people. I think I'm gonna be an Islanders fan, so that's what I am.
Wow, so you're an Islanders fan. And you can actually name some Islanders players. We were doing this at cross country practice. Let's try to name a few.
Okay. Josh Bailey.
Josh Bailey. That's
Johnny
one.
Boychuk.
Johnny Boychuk. Nice.
My favorite Islanders player, John Tavares.
Okay, that's where I'm gonna have to stop you. John Tavares left the Islanders.
I'm just kidding. I was trying to rally you up, dude. I know.
Okay.
I
he know. Knows. He knows. So look at that. He knows Johnny Boychuk and Josh Bailey.
Wait, I know more. You know Anthony Beauvillier.
Wow. Okay. Keep going.
Casey Cizikas.
Wow. He's not reading this. There's a Facebook Live to prove it. He knows this from his head.
Okay.
He does, Eric.
Actually, no, that's it.
Okay, that's it. So there you go. He named four players and John Tavares. So he is clearly a very educated fan. And Eric, yet again, another elite institution that you will be attending. You will be attending Johns Hopkins, which is one of the best schools in the country. And it is right near Washington, D.C. Once you escape the depths of Baltimore, you are emerged in our nation's capital. Do you know who won the Stanley Cup last year?
I unfortunately do not, but I plan on going and watching that game and seeing it live for myself and watching all the glory as soon as I go home today.
Well, the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup.
I see.
And they are from Washington, D.C., which is very close to your college.
Right.
So, would you go to a Capitals game since you're so close?
You know, honestly, that sounds like a prime idea, David. And maybe over break, you can come join me down there and go see one together.
Wow, that sounds great, Eric. Look at you, already becoming a hockey fan, emerging into your true self. Look at you.
Yes, definitely.
I think I sense a favorite here. Even though Pranav's been to games, you seem to be the most excited for your journey of becoming a fan.
I feel like I'm emerging from my non-hockey cocoon and becoming a beautiful hockey pad covered butterfly.
Oh, that's beautiful, Eric. What a poetic person you are. And Tom, you get the last question in our interview period. You are a very great athlete. You're a sensational athlete. When you played basketball on the Clinton Township middle school team, you were the only seventh grader on the eighth grade team, you and Paul Woolhouse. I mean, that's no Griffin Westland, right? I don't remember. It's one of those two. But that's as good as it gets. It doesn't get better than that. So you were amazing at basketball. Could you potentially take a dabble into playing hockey and maybe, you know, be a star hockey athlete?
Well, let's just point out that I am in no way still amazing at any sport. I'm actually quite bad at most sports. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be willing to try to learn hockey. In fact, just recently on the Dartmouth Facebook page, I saw some kid was trying to start like a hockey club team.
Wow.
He was like, anyone want to join? Comment below. And
you commented, I'm sure.
I haven't commented yet, of course. But soon enough, I'll be commenting saying I'd like to play goalie.
Oh, a goalie. Ooh, that is unique. That's not what most people do. Why do you want to be a goalie?
Because I don't know any other position, actually. I actually didn't know any other position offhand, so goalie is the one I
want. All right, guys, wait. Before we vote, I have to say, I'm the only one here who knows the players, who's been to games.
Okay.
I have a hockey poster in my room.
Wow.
I have a hockey stick on my wall.
Wow.
Okay, it's a mini one, but it's still a hockey stick.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I've beaten our host in knee hockey many times.
He has, that's true.
So if you guys are going to vote, I think we all know who the obvious choice is.
And Eric, why should you win?
Like I said before, honestly, I feel like being the least experienced with hockey out of us three, I feel like I have the most to learn, the most to gain from this. And honestly, just thinking about hockey right now, I can definitely see myself falling in love with hockey and being in love with hockey and maybe
spending
a life together, yes, with hockey and having kids, driving them around a minivan, going to hockey games together.
Eric Chan is going to hockey games with the entity of hockey itself.
It's just, I think it's going to be a great time, and that's why I think I should be the Hockey Bachelor. Eric, by the way.
Yes, his name's Eric. That was Eric. Pranav was the one before. And lastly, we've got Tom. Tom, why should you win the Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor?
I know I didn't put up a very good case, and there's not really any particular reason why I should be affiliated with hockey in any way at all, but I just think there's a lot, you know, there's a great frontier out in the future. And a lot of things could change. So if you want to choose the underdog, vote Tom.
And let me give I helped out Pranav, I helped out Eric. Let me help out Tom. For those of you who've been listening to the whole show, I interviewed Bob Wage from North Carolina And for those of you listening to Facebook Live, let's look at Tom's shirt right there. Carolina. He's got the Carolina shirt on.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to college in North Carolina, so.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. And Eric, how are you related to Carolina?
Carolina's always on my mind.
So we've all got relationships to Carolina. Tom, though, is wearing the shirt, so I give that edge to him. Tom does have a relationship to Bob Wage, North Carolina hockey, and I think that's just something. I just think that's something that could really work in his favor. So, guys, we've heard from everyone. Does anyone have any final thoughts about why you should win the Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor? Anyone want to just give a last word in before we go to commercial break?
I can't hold it in anymore. I love you, hockey.
Okay,
that's
Eric.
It.
No.
That was for Nob. And now Tom.
Go Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, Wayne Gretzky. That's a player right there.
I have a tiny Stanley Cup in my room.
He does have a tiny Stanley Cup. That was for Nob. Tom's the one who loves Wayne Gretzky and is
Maple
from Carolina.
Leafs are my favorite type of Leaf.
Okay, and Eric loves Maple Leafs. So guys,
I've been to Canada.
He's been to Canada. Here we go. So guys, we're gonna. It looks like a fight's breaking out in studio. We're gonna take a commercial break. If you want to vote, DM Dry4Five on Instagram. Text me. Commented on the Facebook stream. Just vote who you want to win the Hockey Bachelor, and we will be back in 2 minutes with the winner. Again, Pranav, Tom, and Eric. Pranav, say your name.
Pranav.
Tom.
Tom.
And Eric.
Eric.
Okay, so those were your three. Ew, Pranav, gross. Those are your three candidates, and we will be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey, everyone. The votes are tallied. Winning with double the amount of votes than his opponents, the winner of the Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor, the biggest hockey fan in Hunterdon County, Pranav Sharma. Congratulations, Pranav.
What can I say? I love hockey, and hockey loves me.
So, everyone, that was your Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor. Pranav Sharma takes the crown over Eric Pan and Tom Flynn. Everyone put up convincing cases. I was impressed with everyone's comments, but Pranav, he's been to games. He's got Stanley Cup memorabilia in his room. He's got shirts. He's played knee hockey with me. He just is the hockey fan, and when he goes off to North Carolina, I'm sure he will ignore the basketball culture. Living in a housing complex with Zion Williamson, he'll ignore that, and he will stick to North Carolina hockey. Maybe even befriend Bob Wage, our good old friend Bob Wage. Why not? Yep. So, everyone, that was our segment of Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor. We will be right back with Matthew DeFranks. We'll get serious again to do an interview about the Florida Panthers and the Dallas Stars, so please stay tuned.
Which is a random button.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hello. Welcome back to Destination Hockey. We just had our first ever Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor segment, and it went perfectly. In summary, Pranav Sharma took home the cake, and he won, and it was a beautiful segment where everyone expressed their love for hockey. And sticking with the theme of The Bachelor, it looks like Pranav and hockey will be spending the rest of their lives together. So that was our Bachelor summary. We will be right back with Matthew DeFranks. We just got to get the phone call working. Stay tuned because we're going to talk about the Panthers and their questionable offseason. They did go after Mike Hoffman, but, you know, questionable locker room guy. And then we're going to transition over to the Stars because the Stars also have some interesting storylines. Tyler Seguin, he needs a new deal. So please stay tuned. We'll be back after one quick commercial, and we're going to get this interview in. So thank you so much.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. We are here with Matthew DeFranks. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So you transitioned in a new job recently, going from covering the Panthers in the hockey world to the Stars. How's the transition been?
It's been pretty easy so far. It's just a lot of background research about the Stars. Obviously, I saw them, you know, last year, but that was very limited. I didn't see them for 82 games. Mm-hmm. So just kind of going through a bunch of different game logs and reading and watching as much as I can about the team last year and just getting ready for training camp next month. So it's just been kind of a lot of researching recently and getting going before the season starts.
And when covering the Florida Panthers, you witnessed a very fascinating front office. What was the craziest thing that happened in your time of covering the Panthers?
Well, I was only there this past year, and I started about training camp. So, wasn't really there for the whole, expansion draft and all of that. And I think had I been there, that probably has the most impact of any of their decisions that they made the last few years. I will tell you what kind of caught me off guard was the Mike Hoffman trade that they just made. I guess it was last month, 2 months ago now. Summertime all blended together. But I think that Mike Hoffman trade was something that was needed from a hockey perspective. They really needed some secondary scoring, and he really has proven that he can score at the NHL level. And he's had, I think it was, what, 4 25-goal seasons now. 22 goal season, something like that. So he is a proven scorer that can help deepen that top six. But obviously, they got him at a decent cost because of the accusations, the allegations made against his fiance from up in Ottawa. So that one kind of surprised me a little bit, and it should be an interesting storyline in Florida to see what happens with Mike Hoffman and his fiance in the locker room and then the wives and girlfriends room as well. So, it's not too crazy, just kind of unexpected, something that I didn't really foresee happening this summer.
Yeah, and him along with Dadonov, Barkov, the top six is really forming into a nice group. Do you see that group breaking out next year and really leading the Panthers to a significant upgrade over last season, possibly to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think the playoffs are the expectation. That's the ground level for them, right? I mean, they only missed the playoffs by 1 point last mm-hmm. year, and that was with career years from Alexander Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau, Vincent Trocheck, those three guys, plus Evgeny Dadonov and his return from Russia. So those four guys were pretty much their offense up front. I mean, they didn't get a whole lot from their bottom two lines.
you know, Nick Bjudstad in that top six role kind of worked out well. You know, him, Dadonov, and Barkov formed a decent top line that allowed Huberto to kind of deepen the top six on the second line. So they do have now, I think, two really good lines, and then they have the possibility down further in the lineup to have some young guys step in, young guys like Henrik Borgström if he wants that third line center role, or Owen Tippett if he makes the opening day team. You know, if he can be that third line right winger, because he might not be ready for those top 6 minutes, but you know, he's not really that player who has played on the fourth line last year that the Panthers kind of put him in there for a few games. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the bottom six as well. But I think the top six is pretty proven at this point. You know what you're going to get from Barkov, Huberto, Trocheck. I mean, really, you know what you're going to get on the ice from Hoffman and Dadonov, and even the Bjudstad to an extent, given if he's playing with those guys, right? Mm-hmm. But the bottom six is where they really need some help. You know, when you look at Borgström coming and contributing for a whole year, maybe Tippett doing the same. Colton Seaver is still there. Jeremy McCann still there. Trent Petrano is still there. They have a lot of pieces that can fit, and that's kind of an interesting storyline going into training camp for them, is where are all these bodies going to go? They have so many forwards and only 12 forward spots, so that'll be interesting to watch, definitely up front for Florida.
Yeah, and Aaron Ekblad had a great year last season. You know, the concussion issue wasn't as prevalent, but in the past that was a big issue for him. Are you concerned with his long-term health future?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, anyone has got to be concerned about it, you know, if you've had past head injuries. But, you know, he's talked about the way that he's changed his game. I think before, when he was younger, he was trying to kind of go in slower to the corners and kind of protect the puck that way. But that made him more susceptible to hits. So I think he said he talked to Dale Talon about that. And Talon was like, hey, you know, just go in, get the puck out, in and out as quickly as you can, avoid the hit, move on. And so, you know, last year was a great year health-wise for him. You know, and I think people forget that he is only, I think, 22 years old right now. He's still so young, but he's just been on the public radar for so long because, you know, he was such a big prospect coming up in juniors, and he was the number one overall pick, and he has been so good for the Panthers in his first 4 years that people forget that he's 22 years old. But, you know, not only staying healthy last year, but, you know, becoming someone who can contribute a lot offensively and in different ways. You look at where his goal came from in his rookie year, they're almost exclusively on the blue line. This past year, I think he had 15 goals, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of them were, you know, between the dots, below the dots. He was really finding open ice down low and scoring from there. And that was a different aspect of his game. And on the defensive side, for the first time in his career, he was going up against top line. You know, the first 3 years, he was kind of sheltered. He was kind of second, third pair guy. And in this past year, him and Keith Yandle were the top pair. And, you know, he played 20, 25 minutes a night and against the top lines in the league. And so that was where I thought the biggest step forward was for him, was, you know, taking on top lines. That's going to be his job for most of his career as a top defenseman. And he's going to need to play against those top lines. And that last year was the first year he did it. So I think that combined with his offensive development was huge for him last year.
And now transitioning over to the Dallas Stars, they had a quiet offseason that was kind of, you know, overshadowed by these really, you know, rumors, really, they were about John Tavares and that they had a chance. John Tavares kind of hooked them into the whole sweepstakes when really they seemed like they were never an option. John Tavares, difficult situation for all teams involved, and Tyler Seguin now needs a new contract. The last thing the Stars want is to have a John Tavares encore. Do you think they try to get a contract done now? What's the progress on that, and what is the contract value looking like?
Yeah, I think the Stars definitely want to get something done. I mean, if you have a franchise-type player that's going to UFA, you're not going to want to let him to get to UFA. So, you know, they're going to be trying to get him extended. And, you know, I think as far as contract value, you're probably going to be looking, you know, similar to what Tavares got. If it's in Dallas, he would have an 8-year. Instead of, you know, the 7 if he went somewhere else. So I think the the term and the value has got to be kind of 8 over 80 or 88 over 8, that kind of ballpark. But I think at this point it's more about showing Sagan that this is where he can win a Stanley Cup, right? He's still a pretty young guy, and he is, you know, deemed as one of the top 10 centers in the league. So he will kind of want somewhere that he can win a championship, right? And so I think it's all about the Stars showing him that this is the place for him to do that. When and how they'll be able to do that, I'm not entirely sure. But if you're Dallas, if you're the Stars, if you're Jim Neal, you're going to want to get him locked up so that doesn't loom over the entire season, like it did in New York with John Tavares, and even to an extent in Tampa when Steven Stamkos had his UFA situation. So if you're Dallas, you're definitely trying to get Sagan done.
So quickly, we only got a minute left, but I just want to know, you covered the Florida Panthers for a full season where they had this great, you know, kind of underdog year where they came up and almost made the playoffs, and now the Dallas Stars, they struggled last season, but again, they have high expectations. All things considered, who do you think is the better team right now? Who do you think has a better chance of making the playoffs?
That's kind of tough. I mean, I think the Panthers, I'm more familiar with them given this past year, and so, you know, I kind of expect them to make the playoffs this next year. I'm also more familiar with the Atlantic Division and the Eastern Conference, so the Central Division here in Dallas is pretty stacked now. And you look at what Nashville and Winnipeg were able to do, and Minnesota and Colorado made the playoffs, and obviously Chicago is still there, and Dallas always has a chance, I think, given their top end talent. You look at Radulov, Sagan, Ben Klingberg. If Ben Bishop stays healthy, I mean that's a pretty solid core that you're looking at. And, I think the expectation probably for Dallas is to make the playoffs as well. It's just tough to pick which one I think would be better at this point, especially since, preseason predictions in August aren't really worth that much.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was great to look at two teams with you and really analyze both them. It was great to speak with you. Good luck with the new job and have fun in Dallas.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man.
Of course. So next week we will be back with Ryan Stimson. We're going to talk about the Buffalo Sabres a little bit. This was a fun episode. We had the Hunterdon County Hockey Bachelor. That was brand new, never done before. My three friends, Pranav, Tom, and Eric, came on, and I think they did a great job. Their first ever appearance on the radio, and they all aced it. Congratulations to Pranav Sharma for winning. And then we had a great interview with Bob Wage. I really liked what he had to say about the Hurricanes. And, they had an interesting offseason, really crazy stuff going on in Carolina with their trades and their signings and everything. Interesting team to watch. Who knows what's going to happen next year. But again, thank you guys so much for listening to Destination Hockey today. We've only got three more episodes left, so please stay tuned every week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio.